Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, your favorite food podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the show. Today, we're podcasting on the road at Patrick Kelly Studios in beautiful Tampa, Florida. He's the host and founder of the Produce Industry Podcast. Be sure to check him out. Find him on Apple and Spotify. On the menu this weekend, and not today, smoked short ribs and chicken. It's going to be a yum fest. We'll have the food photography ready for next week, probably come Monday. Thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for this weekend's production. Today, well, fire and smoke with Chef Frederick Casagrande. Join us as we explore the story behind the brand, Smoking Beards. It starts with mesmerizing blends of spices that has taken the barbecue world by storm. From his upbringing in France to becoming the UAE's barbecue champion, Chef Frederick's passion and dedication to the art of cooking will leave you hungry for more. I know it does for me. Get ready to be inspired and indulge your senses on this mouth-watering adventure. Chef Casagrande is on deck. Jeff, my man. My man. Why don't you go ahead and pop the clutch and I guess, do we let Patrick on a little bit today or what? I'm not going to turn his mic on yet, though.
I think we should. Because, I mean, yeah, we got to make payment for him for giving us the use of the studio today.
I know.
He did have to cancel a bunch of meetings.
But we are the number one podcast. I mean, he should be paying us a little bit, too.
Shots fired.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Shots fired.
Okay. Oh, my God. Man, that intro music. Pablo Vivas.
Yeah, he does an awesome job.
Oh, God. So great. All right. I'm shutting it off. But it's great. It is great. All right, Patrick, you're on the air, too. Welcome, Patrick Kelly.
Thank you for having me in my own studio.
So
you're welcome.
So listen. All right, everybody out there, like, what the hell is going on? Like, what changed? So John's not with us anymore. No, John has the flu, and
we didn't feel like getting sick.
Yeah, well, we wanted to let him rest. That's true. I'm gonna go with that one. Yeah, we're letting him rest. And in the clutch, Patrick Kelly came through in the clutch with the hey, we're gonna take over your space here, and he went for it.
Anytime.
So thank you.
Anytime. Yeah. I like having you guys here. I actually think it mixes up the office a little bit. I've got a lot of attorneys in this office and a lot of construction, like design companies. So when they see like a bunch of people coming in with mics and boxes, they either think one, they're taking over the office.
Right.
or two, what's happening? So I will tell you, I am the most exciting and interesting person in this office.
Yeah, the most electrifying,
energetic. They all hear us right now. Like, all of them right now are like, what are they going to say next?
Are they putting complaints in yet?
Only if you're in the hallway.
Okay. All right, so let's get back to food. So today, we are going to be talking barbecue.
Yep.
Now, Jeff, I know that holds a special place in your heart.
Definitely.
Right? Mm. Your cooking skills. I mean, you're... would you say you're traditionally classically trained?
100% classically French trained, just like Chef on the line right now. Yeah. Yeah,
but now you said, you know what? Screw all that. I'm just going for hot coals and stuff like this.
Yeah, I think that, like I've always stated, I think we get back to the roots of being primal when we get back to cooking with fire. When you have this switch when you're in a kitchen, you turn it on and you can cook and you can do things a la minute. It's different. Being trained in the French classic cuisine style, you definitely add a weapon to your repertoire when you're going into barbecue. There's so many things that some of the barbecue guys don't understand about cooking or don't realize they can do with cooking, where we come in and kind of like, hey, this works in French cuisine and that style of cooking. And what if I do XYZ? And that helps us out. And we like in exactly what Chef's probably going to talk about, but the rubs and the spices and how we can manipulate flavor profiles too. But then the barbecue aspect of it adds complexity to it. For instance, tomorrow's menu or this weekend's menu, we're going to be doing a ravioli that's going to be smoked with pecan first, and then that's the short rib. Then I smoked the actual ricotta cheese mix with a cold smoke. Mm. So it's a layer of smoke on top of smoke. It's similar to what we did with Bo Jackson's, the one dish I did that everyone was ranting and raving about, the ceviche. There was four different types of smoke. In that, so in the actual ravioli, there's two smokes in that one. So actually three.
So I'm not going to be there for this production, but you will save me a plate. Like
I have a ton of, cause I wanted to, it's been a while for me since I've done actually any pasta doughs. So I got semolina flour, you know, had it shipped in, and I ended up doing the dough yesterday, and I bought a beautiful, stamp. My buddy Beach up in New Hampshire, actually Keith's Saracen's sous chef, he was doing a demonstration presentation over in Catersource, and he had these beautiful Italian stamps for raviolis that were actually, you can pop it and it would automatically pop the thing out with spring loaded. That's what it was. I was like, oh my God, I got to get me one. As soon as this came up, as far as the menu was concerned, I'm like, we are so doing this right now. Because you know why? It's National Ravioli Day. And coming up, actually. So that's one of the reasons why we have paella on that menu. We have a French bread because that's a National French Bread Day. And there was one other national day.
Yeah, but ravioli kind of steals the thunder.
Oh, it will. Yeah. It will definitely, because we're doing a blueberry demi-glace reduction that has thyme. So we have blueberry thyme. There's ouzu and actually the ricotta mixture with the caramelized onions. So
that
there's
you smoked.
That I smoked. Mm. So there's citrus, there's blueberry, there's thyme. There's going to be a lot going on. That in that dish.
Good. Even, I think this guy didn't eat it.
If it didn't have beef.
Well, you know what? I mean, listen, we're going to convert Patrick back to...
Beef?
Yeah, we're going to bring him back.
I don't know. I wish I could, honestly. I told you that.
We were talking off air a minute ago, and you were, I don't know, you got like kind of lit up when we started talking about the Farmer Craveable dinners.
I did. You know, that's... It's one thing in the industry to talk about, you know, fresh produce or even the cattle and beef industry. You know, I have a podcast that's scheduled in the next week or so that, you know, I'm going to talk to a cattle farmer. And I told him my experience with beef, and, you know, he asked me the questions, and I told him I had, you know, stomach issues, and he said, hey, totally get it. I want to send you some product, you know, have your wife try it. And I do want to know. He's like, but I do want you to do one thing for me. I said, okay. He goes, don't swallow it. He goes, get a little piece of that dehydrated meat. He goes, chew on it. He goes, right? He goes, think about it, like, chew on it. Just like, you know, you chew on a cigar when it gets down to the bottom. He goes, I want you to just enjoy the flavor.
Yes.
You know? That's what he told me. So, he sent me like New York Strip and all that, but the Farmer's Craveable Dinner, I can tell you this right now, is that it just wowed me both times, Jeff. That's one thing I can tell you is that the first time was a 9-course meal, right? Yeah. And then the second time we did a 6-course meal. But I can tell you, every time was an experience. And the first time, you know, it's even funny. My wife said this, Carl, and I think you'll appreciate this. I said, which one did you like better? And she goes, oh my gosh. She's like, that's a tough one, right? And it's hard for us because we had Bo Jackson at the second one.
Right.
But, you know, she goes, I think both of them were comparable because both of them had great people there. The environment was amazing at the Cahaba Club. And the food was amazing, and the community was amazing. And I think that's what hits those Farmers Craveable Dinners. Listen, it's not even about, we're trying to serve this specific meal or this specific deal. No, what it was we were bringing people together that enjoyed produce, that enjoyed meat, right? And that enjoyed being together. So I always say, like, the industry and our produce industry, Carl and Jeff, they did something called Lobby Bar. Remember, I've been telling you about that. I was like, I gotta find out what the name was. They did it right after COVID, but what they did was they went to restaurants. Like, guys, this is the new type lobby bar. Like, we want to bring people out to the farm and have a true farm-to-table experience. You blew my mind two times. And what do they say? Like, experience-wise. Like, you go to the same place, you're looking for the same experience. Just like when I go to the Dominican Republic. I'm looking for the same experience as last year, so I can't be like, oh, crap, right? Every experience with this Farmer's Craveable Dinner has one up the next experience.
Yeah, and I think that's where we want to go with the Farmer's Craveable Dinners, because that's where we've missed out as far as the industry is concerned after COVID being 4 years out. We lost the experiences. We lost the service aspect of it. Then we are a service industry. You know, forget about what we can put on a plate, because that hasn't really changed that much. It's more of the experiences and how we deal with the experience.
100% agree with that. And my hat's off to you guys. Thanks. For that. And I think that for the industry, if you're listening out there, this is what we got to do. You know, let's stop going to Charlie's Steakhouse. I mean, I know I love it. We're in the industry. We service some of these guys with produce and Longhorns, and I love going to those places. But if you want to like a true farm to table experience with, like, I always said, it's like a reception after a wedding. If you want that with your community, this is the way to go. Because if you go, like I said, when we were with Bo, I called you, remember? I said, I need you to give me 5 to 6 restaurants. Remember, Carl?
Sure.
And you go, I'm on it. Dude, you called me back within like 2 hours and was like, wait. You're like, what am I doing here? You're like, is this VIP? I'm like, yes. And you're like, dude, and remember what I told you, we got to find a place that where Bo can't be recognized. Because we're trying to have business. We're trying to do things, right?
I said, come here, kid. We take care of everything. I said, you know, you're going to spend the cash anyway. Just, you know, put it this way. We take
put it
care
towards
of it.
The family.
That's it. Keep it here. That's what I said. Yeah, look, man, at the end of the day, we need to start doing more of these things. Jeff, we're on a call tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 12.
Yeah, and we're going to see about our potentially our next one in Orlando, which would be really awesome.
A Farmer's Craveable in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've already put the peeps that need to know, the team already knows.
Am I VIP again? I should be in, right?
Yeah.
Listen,
it's a given.
It's a date night for my wife and I. Like,
listen, I'm glad I can be that special connector.
Oh my God. Like, listen, cause like you just said, you're going to spend the money anyways. And I think that's what's so special about it is that, I mean, I even called Carl. I don't know if he told you this. Like, I was like, hey, how much am I paying for this? And he's like, you're not. But it's the fact of the matter is...
He did offer, though.
Well, like, I offered many times.
I know you told me that.
I offered many. I should have just become a sponsor of the event, but because, you know, I was getting clapped when I was walking. Hey, he's finally here, walking in anyways. But I just think that it sets the bar when you're delivering, your community, you know, even the purpose of just getting together, because again, we get together with our community as it is, right? Look at us today. Right. Hey, I need help. You guys are part of the community. Let's figure this out.
Well, here's what I'm thinking.
So $250 today for the room each.
And then $750 for you to be on the show.
$750 to be on the show.
And actually, that's a discount.
Yeah.
All right. So what we're going to do, this is what I think we should do. We should have a barbecue, you know, themed Farmer's Craveable.
I could definitely do that.
And we bring
the smoker.
Smoking beards. We bring.
Oh, you bring the gentleman that's on the green room right now, or in the green room right now.
In fact, I don't want to wait any longer. I would like to bring our esteemed guest.
Yes,
Chef Frederick Casagrande. Onto the program. Welcome, Chef. How are you, man?
I am excellent. How are you guys?
Man, if I was any better, I would be you. Do you know what I'm saying? I know you know what I'm saying.
Wait, where is Chef right now in the world?
Where are you right now?
Well, right now I'm sitting in Dubai. It's 10:30 p.m. The weather is absolutely lovely, and I'm having a fantastic conversation with my friends.
I mean, the ones that are not us, right?
I mean, real friends, you know.
Yeah, the ones that are there. Right, I get you. Listen, would you be up for coming over to do a special dinner event for the with the whole podcast and everything?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So,
you know, I'm up for everything. You know that, right?
Of course I do. Listen, I've said this a couple of times. When so we met audience, you know, Fred, we became friends with Fred during the World Food Championship in Dallas last November, and I got to judge one of Fred's events, and it was the live fire cooking. Man, it was so awesome.
I was too busy working.
Yeah, well, too bad. So was I. I had a job to do, and I was doing it.
You were eating.
That was my job.
That's his job.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
All right, but hold on. I'm trying to give Fred a ton of props. So there was like 20 contestants out there. Fred was the only showman. He saw me. Obviously, he sees that I'm a slob. So he looks at me, he with this inviting smile. And as he's smiling and looking at me, he's cutting pieces of steak. He's cutting pieces of...
So he was bribing you.
He was absolutely doing that.
I mean, full disclosure for the audience, I did put my meat in Carl's mouth.
Oh my God, yeah.
I've been waiting for someone to finally reveal that. Thank you.
This is the only time.
I was told what happened in Dallas stays in Dallas.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
And millions of people now know.
So this is the only time in the history of my entire life and ever. Yeah, it was delicious meat. It was all right. You done good, Fred. You done real good. Okay. I think it was a culotte. Was it a culotte or what were you cooking? Do you remember?
The meat?
Yeah.
It was outside skirt steak.
Outside skirt, yeah. And I'll tell you what, man, that was a great experience.
Yeah.
So, all right, listen, you know, your ancestry, obviously there's a French accent. I think you're Casagrande, so you're Italian, you're French. I think you got a little German sprinkled in there. Your upbringing and cultural heritage, how did that influence your passion for food and cooking? Is that what kind of drew you into this?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, in France, cooking is a very important part of everybody's life, right? I mean, we spend a lot of time eating, we spend a lot of time celebrating food around the table. It's not uncommon that after a 5-course meal, after 3 hours around the table, you're talking about what the next meal will be. So I grew up in a family that loved food, loved eating, loved cooking. So very early, I was immersed in my mom's kitchen, my grandparents' kitchen. And you know what? It smelled amazing. It was fascinating. And being born on the border between France and Germany, there were a lot of different culinary influences there at play. So I think very early I was drawn to cooking, but also cooking, you know, different stuff from different places.
You won a competition, a barbecue competition, in the UAE, correct?
Yeah.
Was that Rotana's? Was that the Rotana's?
No. So the Rotana was the first competition I attended. So I started food competitions in 2021. I didn't win the first one. So, you know, I was very disappointed. But then, you know, it's sports. So there can be only one winner. And I really enjoyed the experience of competing in food. The competition that I won was the qualifier for the World Food Championship in the UAE in 2023. So that was June last year.
What was your inspiration to actually get into the competition?
Well, the inspiration for the first one was very clearly my wife. So it was a competition organized by a hospitality group called Rotana here. And they were looking for the best amateur pitmaster in the United Arab Emirates. When she heard of that competition, she told me, you know, there is this competition, and I'm not sure I should do that. I'm not really into competition. I just like, you know, grilling in my backyard for my friends and that. And she tells me, you know, the looks wives can have sometimes, you are competing.
Yeah, of course.
So I did compete.
Well, it's usually because they want to get you out of the house for a little while, I think.
Or get the grand prize.
Or the grand prize. Yeah. So you have a company. You have a company, Fred. It's Smoking Beards, which is an awesome name, by the way. And I have to say, let me just sidetrack. Your beard is fierce. I'm just saying.
Thank you. Yours is not bad either.
That's okay. It's all right. So, you know, I'm trying to
come see, come sa.
Yeah, I'm trying when I'm older, you know, and older.
You already are.
When you grow up. When I grow up, I aspire to have
be Fred.
To have Fred's beard.
Yeah.
But no, but then he has his company is Smoking Beards too. Yeah. Like it's so awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's all about marketing.
It is. And he's fantastic. They do a terrific job. By the way, what's your Fred? I'm going to put it on the description. It's Smoking Beards on the Instagram, right?
Smoking.beards, yeah.
Okay, excellent. And Smoking Beards came from where? Who? Where did the name come from? And what are your products?
So the name, the whole idea of Smoking Beards actually came from a coffee meeting. It's going to be a very funny story that I was just dating with my future wife, and she asked me, "Okay, so what are your plans for the future? What are your plans?" So I'm like, yeah, you know, we're going to finish the coffee and then we're going to take the bike and go here and go there. And she's like, no, what are your plans? So obviously it was like a job interview. So I talked about my aspirations to, yeah. So I talked about my aspirations and I'm like, you know, one day I'm dreaming of having my own place, my own restaurant, like a jazz lounge, a cigar club, something like that. And she's like, okay, so what are you going to do to make it happen? And after half an hour of conversation, we went with the concept of doing something a bit more serious with barbecuing and step by step building a plan to enter this food and beverage industry. And on the spot, we were brainstorming about the name, and she was looking at the beard. She was looking at Funnily enough, you know, when you smoke a brisket, you can shower as many times as you want.
Right.
Your hair and your beard will smell like smoke for a couple of days. So she's like smoking beards.
Too
and she plays with the word. And at some point I was like, you know what? That's an awesome name. And on the spot with my phone, I reserved the domain name. And just, you know, the same day we registered the brand and the trademark. So that's how off the cuff it really popped up.
And that's a brilliant story. So your main products are what?
So I would say the cornerstone of the smoking beers lineup are the spices. Because what happened during the first competition, so I created a dish. The dish was good, but although it didn't win, everybody who tried it, the judges, I mean, the audience over there, they're like, man, those spices are awesome. Where can I get them? And there was so much traction around the spice rubs that I created for this recipe that I was, you know, maybe I'm onto something there. So we started producing a bit more of that and selling it. So end of 2021, and, you know, in a couple of months, we sold hundreds of those bottles, which led to the establishment of the company. Now we have a lineup of three spices. So the second one is called the Southern Kiss. And the third one I created for the World Food Championship. So for the UA Championship and then the one in Dallas last November, the Bayou Blaze.
And where is this? Where is your product available? Where do you find the spices?
So currently we're selling in the UAE, of course, in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. We're selling in Philippines. We're selling in France. And I am working on penetrating the North American market. So I'm hoping that very soon those spices will be available to you guys in the US.
Yeah, we might be able to actually help you along with that also. Do you find that obviously it's a grocery retail item, but do you have any push for food service?
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
So locally, I do private catering, I do private chefs events, supper clubs, pop-ups, and so on and so forth. But I also do residencies. So I'm currently at the back end of a three-month residency as a guest chef in a gastropub in Dubai. So I've created a menu for them, and I've been training the kitchen staff and the whole brigade. And we're cooking that, which is a barbecue-inspired menu. We have six items there, and, you know, patrons absolutely love it.
Fred, what is your favorite barbecue style for yourself?
I like every style. I would say probably Texas barbecue because this is what I've learned first, you know. But I like big cuts of meats. I obviously drawn towards ribeyes, tomahawks, and stuff like that. But I like just, you know, a good juicy piece of meat with a nice crust.
So you're not into the sauces then? Or are you into sauces as well?
Not so much. I'm more into dry rubs than sauces, but I've done sauces. I mean, interestingly enough, Jack Daniels asked me to do a barbecue sauce a couple of months ago for the Steve Harvey Open Fire Food Festival, which was a big hit as well, you know.
I saw that. I saw on your, I think it was Instagram, with Steve Harvey and all that. That looked amazing. I wish I was there for that.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing it again next year, so As soon as I know the dates, I'll let you know.
Perfect.
So when you're doing your barbecue, do you, the style that I would like to know is, do you do offset? Do you do, like, what kind of equipment are you utilizing? Santa Maria? You doing offset?
So I'm lucky that I work with a local manufacturer. So those guys are amazing. Both of them are Americans. It's called Exit 10, and they manufacture grills and smokers. What they've built for me, we call it the Grill Reaper, the barbecue from hell. So it's kind of a huge contraption that has one of those cranks, you know, and two scissors lift. So I can lift it like a Perrier.
So you're doing similar to the Santa Maria?
Similar to the Santa Maria, yeah.
Gotcha.
But I have such a big cooking surface on that I usually only use half as direct. I use coal to start the fire, but then I grill on wood. And then, you know, I just play with direct fire, indirect heat. I have some space on the sides to let the meat rest. It's extremely practical.
But do you make fun of people who are using, you know, smoke with, you know, like a Traeger?
Yeah, or gas.
You know, gas or something like that? Is that what you do secretly?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. Like, you know, full disclosure here, I have a Weber Summit, so that's, you know, the huge gas grill. I have a pellet smoker as well as a wood smoker. I think each tool has a use. You know, if I want to smoke racks of sausages, maybe it's easier for me to just fire the pellet smoker. But for my briskets, I use the offset.
What is your most favorite rub? Like, what's your foundation, your base?
If you want to let that secret out.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean,
everybody has their secrets.
Everybody has a secret. Break it here first. I'm just saying, Fred.
No, I'm biased. I use a lot of my own rubs. I love the original. It works. It was created for ribeyes and briskets, and absolutely works miracles on those meats. So that would be my go-to mix.
How did you get involved with barbecue? Because you're classically trained, correct?
I've done a lot of classical training in France and here.
Right. What made you go, barbecue? Look,
you know, it's the fire. I mean, I heard you guys have this conversation, and I fully agree with what was said. There is something completely primal. Look at the kids when there is a bonfire.
Yeah, exactly.
We're drawn to that flame, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's inherited from thousands, tens of thousands of years, where fire is the protection, and fire is what makes ingredients edible. So it's at best it's a seasonal activity in France because I come from northeastern France and the climate is not really good. So most of the time you cannot barbecue. And then I moved to Dubai in 2008 and suddenly I had a backyard and I had sun 364 days a year and it was amazing. So this is really where I started playing with the fire.
In a desert.
Very, very quickly, I discovered.
In a desert, he's playing with fire.
Yeah, I mean,
not too hot.
because why not?
Right.
You know, there is no such thing as a barbecue season.
Right. That's how it is here in Florida, too.
I mean,
but if you exactly, weren't, but listen, if you.
I would suspect.
If you weren't going to do, if you weren't going to be in, you know, doing a barbecue or smoking, what would you be cooking? What's your old favorite? What was your favorite before barbecue?
You know, I like French cuisine a lot, obviously, because this is what I've been exposed to most of my life. So spending the hours preparing a good beef bourguignon or something like that, it's delicious. We have a lot of meat and wine-based stews in France. They're absolutely insanely delicious, succulent.
Have you tried to replicate some of the cuisine that you did in France, but barbecuing the protein and then building from there? Like doing a beef bourguignon with smoked beef instead of doing a braise?
Yes. So, I mean, I've experimented with pulled beef to do, like smoked pulled beef to do the bourguignon. There's pulled lamb as well that works in a similar way. So there is a lot of experimentation and playing around that you can do where it works the same. Because the concept of those stews is that you stew the meat for a very long time to make it, you know, softer.
Right.
Which is exactly what you do when you smoke, you know, a brisket for a long time. You take a piece of meat that would otherwise be very tough and you make it super soft and delicious. Except that you infuse it with those smoky flavors. So you cannot really adapt the recipe, you know, one for one, but you can create something else that is inspired by that.
Exactly. What wood do you have that you use, and what's your favorite type of wood to smoke with?
Here we have a supply problem, right? Because there is no forest in the UAE, so we cannot really find good smoking wood domestic. So all the wood that we can find for smoking is imported. I use English oak. I think it's a wood that is very well balanced. It's not overpowering, so it works with pretty much everything. And the one that I have is extremely dry, so there is a very good quality smoke, and it almost leaves no ash at the ends, which is good as well.
Are you bringing this English oak to Indiana or what?
Probably not.
Well, if I was closer to the U.S., I would have different supply chain for sure.
Yeah, but I want the English.
He wants to taste what it would be like for English. Because we here in Florida, we have oak that's indigenous. We also have some cedar and some cypress that we have here, which is really different.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we also have the hickory, the mesquite, the cherry, the pecan.
Yeah. So I have an assortment of all those woods in smaller chunks and in chips. So I can always add, you know, layer the smoke in different flavors. But the volume smoking, I mainly use oak. I would suspect, you know, American oak is probably the same. The same flavor profile.
Yeah, it's very neutral in its smoke. It doesn't overpower the meat like hickory and mesquite. I find sometimes it takes it. Those types of woods actually become the star, not the protein. Where I think the protein should be the star, and the smoke should be the supporting actor.
I like that.
Yeah,
I agree. I actually do like that.
And that's the problem. Yeah, and that's the problem I have with many sauces.
Right.
It's like as soon as you coat your protein with the sauce, there is a tendency that the sauce might
overpower.
Become the star of the dish. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
This is something that's quite difficult when you do spice mixology, when you create a spice rub. It's something that adds flavor, that adds enough flavor that it does make a difference, but that you can still, you know, feel what the meat is.
Oh, you always have to definitely feel that.
Carl knows that too.
Yeah, right. So I think smoking beards should be like the official feeder of the Walk and Talk podcast. When
I'm okay with that. You know, after Dallas, I am so okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, those days were so long.
Chef, what do you got coming up next? What's your next big thing?
The Walk and Talk show.
Duh. After today,
after today, while waiting for the episode to air in the UAE and, you know, rise to fame thanks to you guys.
right.
No, thanks to you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, jokes aside, there is a lot in the pipeline. If you followed my feed on Instagram, you saw that the past couple of months have been incredibly active, and there has been a lot happening. So right now, I'm finishing my residency in JB's Gastropub by end of March. I'm going to take 2 weeks of leave where hopefully I'm going to be grilling, but just for pleasure. And then we're gonna start the next phase of Smoking Beards. There is a lot of retail and wholesale activities that may come to fruition from a spice perspective. The next residency, I can't talk about it right now, but very soon we'll be able to announce that. And we're looking at barbecue classes with some of the culinary institutes around here. So definitely barbecue is going to be even more prominent on the UAE food scene.
Is there a type of UAE barbecue, or is there one that's starting, or could you be the father of that cuisine or that type?
Well, I would say culturally in the Arab world, they've always grilled meats, but it's not what you would expect as a barbecue type of cuisine in North America. So it's more, you know, they have those kafta, which is kind of minced meat with spices.
Yes.
That is grilled. Mm-hmm. So, and also because of the type of meat that are used and the cultural appetite, it's more on the well-done side. And so when the locals do barbecue, this is the type of stuff that they are doing on the grill, which is not the ribeyes and briskets and so on and so forth. So all these type of American barbecue are relatively new in the country, but it's becoming a big thing. And for the past 3 years, you can see a lot of steakhouses and even smokehouses popping around in the country.
So there's not one definitive, like here in the States, as you know, there's Texas, there's Tennessee, there's Kansas City, North Carolina, or the Carolinas with the mustards. Then there's Florida with the Floridian. There's not one that's like coming up to be like, that's the UAE kind of way of doing things, or is it finding itself, I guess, is a good question.
Yeah, I think we're still in the early stages. So there is definitely an Arab way of doing grilling. I would not qualify that as barbecuing because it's something different. But everybody also, it's because the way of the UAE operates, right? I mean, they have, I don't know exactly, but between 15% and 20% of local population, the rest is expats. And those expats come from all over the world, and they stay in the UAE maybe, you know, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. And everybody brings their own culture. Everybody brings their own cuisine. So you have people who come, and they will start barbecuing with their own style, depending on where they come from. Other people see that. They learn from it. And this is how you have this hodgepodge of many different cuisines that collide and that sometimes creates some very nice associations. I'm really hoping that in the coming years, something local emerges as the UAE style.
I need to figure out how to get you some Creekstone Farm beef. I think you would freak out.
Indiana, we can hear it up there. When he's in Indiana for the World Food Cup.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about over there.
I don't know. That's,
we got to figure that out. Yeah. Yeah, we got to figure some stuff out.
There's a plane involved. I'll definitely say that.
Yeah.
Very fast plane.
Okay. True story. Very fast plane. Don't have time for a.
Ain't got time to wait. Right? Nope. Ain't going to be on a slow boat. I'll tell you that much. Slow boat.
All right. Fred, I appreciate you being on the show. Can you, one more time.
Where can everyone find you besides Instagram and go through that, whatever that is?
So, I mean, online, we have a website, so it's smokingbeards.com. Instagram is the best way to reach us. That's smoking.beards. And if you are lucky enough to be around the UAE and in Dubai, just give me a buzz online and I will tell you where to find me and I'll grill for you.
Well, Someday we're going to come over there at some point. And be sure, by the way, don't forget to say hello to Tarek and Ola for us.
I will definitely.
Yes, certainly. Patrick, he's still here, I guess. But listen, we appreciate you, man, for using your space. Jeff, as always, you're awesome. Chef.
Thanks for staying up for us. We appreciate it, man.
I was just going to do the...
I do it to you all the time.
Oh, my God. Always jumping in front of me, dude. Chef Frederick Casagrande, thank you for being on the program. Thank you for waiting up all night for this. We appreciate you, man, and we can't wait to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Cannot wait to see you again.
Looking forward to it. Breaking some bread.
So Indy is in 232 days. I see you there.
He knows it.
And we will see you there. And guess what? We are... Oh, Peninsula Food Service. Make sure you're going out there, chefs. Go see them. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.